It's a new week. What's up, everybody? Adam Pfeiffer back with you here on Monday, August the 5th, 2024. It's For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. Just keep looking at the calendar and you keep seeing how close and close we are getting. Is it 5 Sundays from now? We'll be watching all the games. But of course, you got fantasy drafts before that. And that's why we're here to help. As well as at FTNFantasy.com, where there is so much to do and so much to see. Between the rankings, the tools, the projections, Jeff Ratcliffe's fantasy draft, the game plan fantasy draft guide, the FTN Almanac led by Aaron Schatz. I mean, between just those two, you'll know everything about football and fantasy football that you will need to know. But on top of that, we have a ton of articles, and we have the revamped Stats Hub, which is, in my opinion, the best thing that's out there. It's unbelievable. You'll see me reference that a million times in this podcast. So much. And of course, there's a lot more podcasts as well, part of FTN Media. So make sure you check all of them out. The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. Jeremy Popolar is doing the Dynasty podcast. We have this podcast. So much to do and see. So I highly, highly encourage you to check out FTNFantasy.com today. Speaking of today, we will wrap up our positional tiers with the tight end position. And seems to be more and more news every day, so we'll touch on a couple brief pieces of news. We did see Puka Nacua, not a serious injury, but he is going to be week to week. We'll talk about that, some other small pieces of news. But this is the time of the year. I mean, there's probably going to be a lot of real life, live, home league fantasy drafts starting this weekend. I have my most important one in a couple weeks, and I just could not be more excited. I'm glad to have everybody part of the ride here on the podcast. So let's get right into it with some news. Like I led with Puka Nacua left practice early on Sunday. Report came out today that he is week to week. Doesn't sound serious. Doesn't sound like there's any jeopardy of him missing week one. Like, I think it's something obviously to keep an eye on. Somebody that obviously the last thing we think of is his historic rookie season, but you know, in college coming into the NFL, he had some issues staying healthy. So this definitely isn't nothing. For me, like I wouldn't see this news and drastically move him down my rankings. But if you were like really close between somebody like Puka and Garrett Wilson or Puka and Davante Adams or, Marvin Harrison, for instance, like anything like that. And you want to use this as kind of a tiebreaker, totally get it. Totally get it. I would definitely be more worried if this was his rookie season and he was losing these reps, but doesn't sound like there's real worry about him being ready for week one. Cooper Kupp, on the other hand, has been healthy, has been looking pretty good. Maybe this makes you move him up and maybe move DeMarcus Robinson up a tiny bit. But until we get some sort of evidence that he might be out week one, just kind of something that it's definitely not something you read and say, okay, whatever, I'll toss this to the side. This is notable for sure. But again, probably miss a lot of the preseason, if not all of it. And we'll see when he's good to go. I would guess he's good to go for week one, barring any setbacks, but that is part of it. Elsewhere in terms of news, interesting with the Green Bay wide receivers, which has been one of the key talking points in fantasy, I feel like. Saturday they had in Green Bay their little scrimmage, and a lot was reported on the reps and the snaps for the wide receivers, and it was clearly Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson leading the way. They both clearly were the one and two wide receivers. Then it was Jaden Reed. Then it was Dontavian Wicks. So this is somebody in Jaden Reed that, like, his snap share was down last year. It was below 60% over the course of the season. In the most important games of the season, in the playoffs, it wasn't crazy high. So, and this is a team that, like, they want to use two tight ends. Like, they're not going to be a team that, you know, they're not going to be the Rams. They're not going to be the Bengals. These teams that just run three wide receiver sets 80 to 90% of the time. So it's one of the reasons why Jaden Reed to me has been just the easiest to avoid in fantasy drafts. this definitely solidifies that even more for me. And I talked about it on some of the more overlooked players in fantasy. Like, nobody wants to draft Romeo Doubs. Nobody even wants to talk about Romeo Doubs. Everybody wants to talk about Jaden Reed's rookie season, Dontavian Wicks's insane metrics, his great route running, his yards per out run, his first down per out run, all that stuff. And that's warranted. He was really good, and he's going to be a good player for them. And then, of course, everybody wants to talk about if Christian Watson can stay healthy, he's going to score a lot of touchdowns, etc. And even Bo Melton with his insanely small sample size. But Romeo Doubs is, I was on the podcast with Heath Cummings last week. We were talking about wide receiver tiers. Romeo Doubs is like the NFC's Gabe Davis. Plays all the snaps, won't ever give you a great target share, but even like his bad games aren't even close to Gabe Davis's bad games. And you look at the games where, I think it was weeks 4 through 11 where Watson was healthy, I believe Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson were both top 10 in the NFL in end zone targets during that stretch. So, yeah, like, maybe this is what it takes for Romeo Doubs to get some more respect. I'm not saying you draft him as a top 40 wide receiver, because A, you don't have to, and B, he's not going to be a consistent week-to-week top 36 wide receiver. But, like, the fact that we're just so quickly kind of pushing him to the side when, in my opinion, if you add the health concerns for Christian Watson, I don't think there's a player on this team that you project for just more consistent playing time than Romeo Doubs. Like, we always say we want pieces of Green Bay's offense with Jordan Love breaking out last season. We love Matt LaFleur. And we're talking about almost everybody but Romeo Doubs, who is as locked in for playing time as anybody, if not more. So let's show Romeo Doubs some more love, shall we? Other stuff, it's been more so like kind of just stuff that beat reporters have seen at camp about. You know, there's a couple players banged up for sure. Rashid Shaheed a little bit banged up. Hamstring tightness, that's definitely something to keep an eye on with the player with his speed. Dawson Knox, it was kind of a little bit of, you know, soreness, rest. His groin's bothering him a little bit. I know a lot of people are, like, worried about, like, the reports about, yeah, the Bills love Dawson Knox. Is this bad for Kincaid? A, yes, they love Dawson Knox, and so does Josh Allen. B, if they're running the ball on a lot of the plays that Knox is in, I don't really, it doesn't affect Kincaid at all for me. But Knox a little bit banged up. More so, I think, just rest, though, in my opinion. Jaden Daniels will start the team's first preseason game Saturday against the Jets. No surprise there. Talked about this the other day, but the Rams offensive line still really beat up. Rob Havenstein and who was it? Jonah Jackson, both week to week. So the Rams pretty banged up right now. And of course, Tyreek Hill got the extension. It's a restructure. 3-year, $90 million. Obviously going to be one of the top, you know, five selections in fantasy drafts. Oh, we did get the news on Jonathan Brooks. I did want to talk about this. So head coach Dave Canales said that Jonathan Brooks, coming off the ACL, will not play in the preseason and will hopefully be ready by week 3 or week 4. So he obviously got put on the PUP list in the preseason. Looks like he'll probably start on the PUP list for the regular season. I talked about Brooks on the running back episode. Like, this was kind of, like, you weren't, the play to draft Jonathan Brooks wasn't to draft him and start him as your second running back or your flex in week 1. That was not at any point the plan. Even if he was active week 1, we knew it would take a couple weeks to get acclimated, to get back into full strength. So it's not concrete, right? Canales said hopefully be ready by week 3 or week 4. So I would, like, tentatively probably say, just to be safe, like, maybe he starts in the PUP, misses the first 4 weeks, and is good to go week 5. And then maybe by week 8, week 9, he's getting, like, the workload we saw from Rashad White in Dave Canales' offense last year. That's the goal. That's kind of the plan and the best case scenario. So while I don't think this, like I did move Jonathan Brooks down a little bit in my rankings, I didn't drop him a crazy amount because, again, this was like, this shouldn't be like too much of a shock. The question is, like, is it the timeline they expect? Is it weeks 3 to 4 that he's good to go? And then how many weeks after that is he getting 65 to 70% of the running back touches? So, I mean, if you are going with a zero or hero RB approach in drafts, and then you're in the later rounds kind of just trying to collect a bunch of players that can get decent work at certain points of the draft, yeah, I think Chuba Hubbard now needs to be discussed more. Obviously took the job from Miles Sanders last year. Let's look at from week 8 on. So let's do week 8. Chuba Hubbard from week 8 on averaged 16.7 rushing attempts, 2.6 targets, 2.5 receptions, and about 12 PPR points per game, 19 touches per game. Maybe they try to work Miles Sanders in more, but I would guess, again, it's a new offense, it's a new scheme, it's a new regime, it's a new everything. But that workload could be similar for Chuba Hubbard with an improved offensive line and an overall improved offense for the weeks Jonathan Brooks is out, if he's still very much ahead of Miles Sanders. So, yeah, like if you draft an elite player at the top at the position and then wait and you want to draft, you know, Chuba Hubbard and just say, okay, I got somebody that's going to get me 15 touches per game until Jonathan Brooks is back. Yeah, he's definitely somebody that looks a lot more appealing now. That will do it for news. Let's close out the positional tiers here in 2024 with the tight ends. All right, so it's very, very risky, and it feels like it's a trap. But this year in particular, maybe more than most, it feels like tight ends kind of deep this year. Every time we make that case, it falls flat and we just look foolish. But it really does look and seem different this season because of the breakout seasons from Sam Laporta and Trey McBride, who are both in tier one for me alongside Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. I think there's a lot of tiers out there that would have Andrews not in it. I'm not there. Let's start at the top, though, with Kelce and Laporta, who both averaged just over 14 fantasy points per game last season. I mean, you know that Travis Kelce's been just unbelievably insane when he has a stat line of 93, 984, and 5 last year, and it feels like it was a disappointment. First season without 1,000 yards for Kelce since 2016. We have to remember, though, he opened the season banged up, missed week 1, then he sprained his ankle in week 5, and just felt like the Chiefs were kind of like limiting him, going for that playoff run, making sure he was good to go. He ran around on 75% of dropbacks last year. That was at 84% the year before. But back when he was full go on the playoff run, he was amazing. In four playoff games, Kelce averaged 9.3 targets, 8 receptions, 89 receiving yards, and 21.5 PPR points per game. So, yes, he very much should be at least a tight end one or two. Sam Laporta coming off one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen from a tight end. We know the position historically struggles right out of the gate, but Sam Laporta did not get that memo. It was amazing. 86 catches, just under 900 yards, 10 touchdowns, 24% target per outrun rate, second best among tight ends, 10 end zone targets, tied for the third most at the position. Just immediately became, along with Amon-Ra St. Brown, the go-to target for Jared Goff. He led the position in targets on third and fourth down with 53 of them. I think the 10 touchdowns will definitely come down, for sure. Like, Laporta should be ranked 1, 2. I'm just also not drafting him because, look, and I talked about this before on players I'm avoiding, and Sam Laporta, as good as he is and as awesome as he will continue to be, he is a player that I'm avoiding. And it's not because of Laporta, it's because the position I still feel is deep. And when he's going in the third round, like Laporta last season, as good as he was less than like a half a point better per game than Evan Engram and Andrews. And those guys go later than him. And it's also worth noting that in the games, remember, we have to remember, like, there was a lot of time where both Gibbs and Montgomery were not together. In the games where both running backs were healthy, Laporta averaged about two fewer fantasy points per game. It's a team that still wants to run the ball in the red zone, so he's still great. I'm just not drafting him where he's being drafted. And then McBride and Andrews, I actually have an article up today, if you're listening to this on Monday, on the site, Fantasy Crossroads, breaking down the matchup between McBride and Andrews. I won't spoil it, but obviously McBride was amazing the second half of last season, was playing behind Ertz for the majority of the first half, and then he gets hurt and McBride takes over. From week 8 on, he ranked second in tight ends and receptions, third in receiving yards. He was first in target share at 26%, second in air yard share at 22%. And during that span, Trey McBride was better than Kelsey and Laporta in target per out run rate and fantasy points per game. He averaged 14.9 fantasy points per game. He did do that with Hollywood Brown missing the final three games, and he played less than 60% of the snaps in the final five games of the season. And obviously now they add an alpha wide receiver in Marvin Harrison. But this team, I think the Cardinals defense is going to be really bad this season. So he's still going to get a lot of targets there. And then finally, Mark Andrews missed time last year with the leg, week 11, and then didn't play again until the playoffs. But he was still great, right? Like his metrics were still elite. He's been a top five tight end in fantasy points per game for like five straight seasons now. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be up. He can finish as a tight end one pretty easily. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Let's go to the second tier where I have Dalton Kincaid, Evan Engram, George Kittle, and I did just move Kyle Pitts into this tier. So four players in this tier: Kincaid, Engram, Kittle, and Pitts. Let's start with Evan Engram, who led this group pretty comfortably in points per game last season with 13.5. Just insane volume. We know that the tight end position and Doug Peterson's offenses have been really, really fantasy relevant and fantasy friendly. Last season, Evan Engram was fifth among all tight end or all players in receptions. Not tight ends, players. 114. He's 12th in the entire NFL in targets with 143. That was the 15th most by a tight end in NFL history. So you also add that with Zach Ertz back in Philadelphia, who had 156 in Doug Peterson's offense. That means that the highest. Ertz had the most tight end targets ever with 156. So the highest and 15th highest targeted seasons ever by tight end have come in Doug Peterson's offenses. And like, I always say this, just go for routes if you're looking at tight ends. And nobody ran more routes last year than Engram. He ran 617. The next closest was Kate Otten with 568. So the floor is going to be awesome. The touchdowns aren't great, but that floor, the volume is awesome. Dalton Kincaid, I talk about him on this podcast many times, just the ideal, elite, obvious breakout candidate of the 2024 season. If Laporta didn't do what he did, we'd be talking about Kincaid's rookie season a lot more because he had 73 catches last year. That was the fourth most by a rookie tight end in NFL history. 91 targets. Opened the year splitting time with Dawson Knox, and then Knox goes down for a little bit, and Kincaid breaks out. Now you have, obviously, Stephon Diggs gone, Gabe Davis gone, just over 44% of Buffalo's targets from last year need to be replaced, and according to FTN data, Kincaid, respectable but not great, 15.7% target share when Stephon Diggs was on the field last season, but when he was off the field, that target share climbed to 22.6%, which, for reference, a 22.6% target share for a tight end last year would have been top five in the NFL, so the rapport with Josh Allen's great. The talent's there. The touchdowns will go up. He only scored twice last season. Have to love Dalton Kincaid. And then George Kittle. He's going to be as efficient as anybody in football. We know that. And if he were on a different team, he'd be the tight end one very often. But Kittle, often asked to run block, competes for targets with McCaffrey, Ayuk, and Debo. But the ceiling is insane. Like, last year he had 7 games as a top 3 fantasy tight end. But of course, he also finished outside the top 25 tight end 6 times because there's a couple games where he just kind of has like 2 for 14. San Fran wins by 25 and he doesn't have to do much because it's Ayuk and Debo and McCaffrey going off. You look at, since 2022, George Kittle's played 26 games where Ayuk and Samuel have both logged at least 30 snaps. In those games, Kittle's averaging under 5 targets, 3.6 receptions, and about 11.3 PPR points per game. So, like, if you told me Ayuk got traded, Kittle would be in the first tier for me. It's that simple. His efficiency rates, all that stuff, yards per target, yards after the catch perception, he's as good as it gets. It's just, we need more volume. And then Kyle Pitts, I did put in this tier. I'm becoming more and more excited about him as the season goes on, or as the offseason goes on, I should say. Just getting him out of Arthur Smith's offense. Look, Arthur Smith, good OC. And it's the interesting thing, too, is like he has been good for tight ends because he's a former tight ends coach. We saw Jonnu Smith kind of break out in Tennessee. And then obviously last year, if you kind of just combine Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith's production, it's a really good fantasy tight end. Kyle Pitts, we've seen him pretty much play wide receiver since joining the NFL. And he can win on the outside against defensive backs. We know that. But he shouldn't be asked to do it 75% of the time because Kyle Pitts, you know, in single coverage, you know, man coverage against a linebacker, it's just not even a competition. And the Falcons have not done a good enough job so far in his career of getting him those mismatches. So, you look, according to FTN data, over the last 2 seasons, Kyle Pitts has run just 130 of 647 routes with a linebacker in coverage. That's just over 20% of his total routes during that span, and his 329 routes against defensive backs are third most among tight ends in that span. So I'm hoping Zach Robinson comes in, gets some better matchups. Obviously, the upgrade at quarterback with Kirk Cousins is great too. So, and look, I'm not saying he's going to have 1,000 yards, but the last time we saw him with a veteran, good quarterback was Matt Ryan, and he had 1,000 yards. I'm just saying. Before we get to the next tier, I have to talk about our sponsors of the program. That's Circa. With football close to returning, so are the Circa contests. They were awesome last season. The largest pro football contests in Vegas have returned. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions are now up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes. There's 2 ways to win and absolutely zero rake. Circa Survivor contestants select 1 team each week with no point spread, lasts the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make 5 picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. If you are in Nevada, boom, you can enter there, or you can play from anywhere. Visit circusports.com for details. Moving on to Tier 3, we have Jake Ferguson, David Njoku, Dallas Goedert, and TJ Hockenson in this tier for me, because simply put, we don't know when we will see Hockenson, but we do know when he's on the field, he's going to be a top 3 tight end. He's been literally the second best tight end in fantasy since joining Minnesota behind Kelsey. It's that simple. Looking elsewhere in this tier, if I miss out on the top 5-6 tight ends, my plan is to draft Jake Ferguson. Last year, 71 catches, 761 yards, 5 touchdowns. He led all tight ends with 12 targets inside the 10-yard line. He was top 3 in end zone targets. He ran around on 76% of dropbacks. And outside of CeeDee Lamb, who is Dak Prescott consistently throwing the football to? Still going to be a good offense. The run game isn't much of a thing right now. And they just don't have anything consistent. Like, he scored 5 times last year. That's I think that's his floor. I think he could get up to like 8-9 touchdowns pretty easily this season. David Njoku was awesome last season down the stretch. From week 8 on, he was third among... It was pretty much from week 8 on, the two best tight ends in the league were pretty easily David Njoku and Trey McBride. From week 8 on, third in receptions, second in receiving yards, second in touchdowns, third in target share, first in fantasy points per game. He averaged 16 fantasy points per game from week 8 on. And he was huge for Cleveland in the red zone. He accounted for 34.5% of Cleveland's targets from inside the 10-yard line. That was the highest rate among all tight ends last season and the 10th highest rate among any player in all football. Tier 4, for me, this is Dalton Schultz, Brock Bowers, Pat Freiermuth, Cole Kmet, and Luke Musgrave. This is probably like the last tier where you even, like, I probably honestly don't feel too comfortable with these guys as my number one tight end. Bowers is the one where it's like, okay, that could be an idiotic statement by after week one. We just don't know what the role is going to be. But if they're really kind of just viewing him as a slot receiver, then he's probably going to be way, like, I'm admittedly lower on Bowers just because I don't love the landing spot, but by the end of week one, it may be not even important because the talent's amazing, the prospect is amazing. Dalton Schultz, he was great last season, but he was 14th last year in target share among tight ends at 15%. And now they add Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell is going to be more involved from, you know, week one instead of, you know, breaking out a little bit later on in the season. They add Joe Mixon. I don't really love Schultz. Honestly, my favorite player from this tier is Pat Freiermuth. We talked about Arthur Smith earlier. He's not the head coach, but he's gotten good production from tight ends. It may not be in the way we wanted it from Kyle Pitts, but this offense is going to feature George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth. Arthur Smith's offenses have historically been offenses that throw to the middle of the field, which would be great for Pat Freiermuth because that's not what the Steelers have done since he's joined the NFL. It's been Matt Canada's vertical boundary-based offense. Freiermuth obviously was not good last season, has dealt with some injuries, but I think the fit and the situation for him is awesome. So again, my plan at tight end, try to get the elite top six guys. If I don't, try to get Jake Ferguson. If I don't, take Freiermuth and somebody else, and I think I'll be okay with Pat Freiermuth. Cole Kmet, though, I am very, very low on. He was good last season, about 11 fantasy points per game. My worry is that he just becomes Noah Fant, which, if you remember Noah Fant in Shane Waldron's offense in Seattle, was like a 40% snap, 40% route type of player, splitting time with Will Disley and Kobe Parkinson because Seattle is going to run a ton of 12 personnel. And what does Chicago do right away in this offseason? They bring in Shane Waldron as the OC, and one of their first moves in free agency was to sign Gerald Everett, who not only is a tight end, but has played with Shane Waldron in multiple offenses. And of course, then you add the fact that the Bears have added Rome Odunze. They've added Keenan Allen. I just think the usage is coming way down for Cole Kmet. So one of the players I have not drafted once, I don't think. And I don't think I will draft anytime soon. I just don't love the role that he's about to have. If it's anything close to what we've seen from Noah Fant in his time with Seattle, not excited about it at all. After that, I mean, like, we could talk about some of the other tight ends, but, like, are we really drafting a lot of these guys? Like, in best ball drafts, sure. Like, obviously, you're drafting, you know, like, I like Noah Fant. I think there could be a breakout now that he's out of that Shane Waldron system. I mean, whatever format you are in, like, Taysom Hill does need to be discussed, obviously. And apparently, he's still going to have a role in this new offense. They've been talking him up in camp, too. You also have players in this tier. I mean, there could be a path for Kobe Parkinson in Los Angeles. Maybe. Juwan Johnson's in this next tier. Not a ton of target competition for him. He's been the guy. And Chris Olave has not scored touchdowns. He's been getting a lot of those end zone looks over in New Orleans. But, like, are we really counting on any of these players? Hunter Henry, I guess, belongs in this tier. Just because not a lot of competition for targets. a team. Like, he's emerged as the lead tight end despite pass offenses being a lot of 12 personnel. Like, he easily passed Mike Gesicki. So yeah, he definitely belongs in that tier I just mentioned. Isaiah Likely is like, maybe there's been some talk about him having more of a role with or without Andrews. If you're looking at like a tight end handcuff, I mean, there's nobody better. He was really good last year without Andrews, but I still struggle to find any standalone value when Andrews is healthy. Tyler Conklin for a sleeper. Somebody's got to run routes. Garrett Wilson's really the only pass catcher outside of Breece Hall that you really expect to get a lot of work. So Conklin could easily be second on this team in targets among tight ends and wide receivers, and that's always, it's always notable for sure. And then there's players, you know, Ben Sinnott, could he be a second half breakout, but probably plays behind Ertz for a lot of the start of the season. Mike Gesicki in Cincinnati, I don't really want to fall for that again, but if he's essentially playing the slot for them, we know Tyler Boyd's gone, but then you have Jermaine Burton, who's been good in camp, but also Jermaine Burton's banged up right now, so like, you probably don't want to be relying on these tight ends. I mean, Greg Dulcich has been getting some buzz in Broncos camp. You know, Jelani Woods has clearly been running as the tight end one, but they're also talking about running a lot of multiple tight end sets again in Indianapolis. So is anybody there going to actually see meaningful volume? You can try to make cases for a lot of these players in the lower range, but really, after that fifth or fourth tier at tight end, you're just kind of taking a couple guys and hoping one hits, but it's unlikely that they do. But still, at the top and in the mid-range, like 1 through 12, tight end's pretty deep. I do like the position this season. I really do. I think you can legitimately say at the end of the season, if 5-6 different tight ends finish as the overall tight end one, you wouldn't be surprised. Like Kelsey, Kittle, Laporta, McBride, Andrews, Kincaid. I think if any of those guys finish as the overall tight end one in fantasy, you would be not shocked. Maybe like a little bit like, maybe a little surprised, but not like just fall out of your chair shocked. And then you add the fact that Ingram gives you this massive floor. And Njoku has been great. Kyle Pitts, I'm expecting a huge bounce back. We could end up having Hockenson be the best value at the end of the day. Like if he misses the first 5 weeks of the season and then it's good to go week six, week seven, he's going to rival everybody. He's going to be on a per-game basis as good as anybody when he's healthy. We know that. It's been the case for 2 years now, or whatever it's been since he joined the Vikings. Ferguson, I like. I didn't even mention Dallas Goedert. Goddard's in that, obviously, the tier I mentioned with Njoku and Ferguson. I'm actually lower on Goddard just because he doesn't get end zone targets at all. And last year was the first... It was a weird year for Goddard last season because last year was the first year his efficiency finally just fell off a cliff. Prior to last season, Dallas Goedert was one of the most efficient tight ends in all of football. So I am taking last year with a grain of salt and saying it's probably an outlier. But one thing's for sure, he just doesn't get end zone targets. Over the last two seasons, he has 4 of them. It's not going to do it. And then what's his ceiling for targets? Like, I'm not like, I don't know. I'm not like totally out on Goddard because I think he's a really good player. But the lack of end zone targets is really, really what kind of keeps me off of him. That's enough rambling out of me today. Appreciate the time. This has been the tight end tiers for 2024. And that wraps up all the tiers for each position. I'm excited. I just want to draft. And if you are drafting, check out ftnfantasy.com. We have everything. Rankings. I did a rankings update last night. Moved a handful of players up and down. That's usually how rankings updates work. I'm smart. Really, really smart. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. It's much appreciated. Check out all the other podcasts on the FTN Media side of things. The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. The Dynasty Podcast with Jeremy Popolars. Baseball content. I know fantasy playoffs for baseball starting. It's huge time. and the FTN Fast Break NBA podcast. I was on with Zach Graham last Friday. I'll actually be on with him again this Friday. Fun to talk hoops. Just love sports. I love being part of FTNFantasy.com. We have everything for you, for everything, and especially this fantasy football draft season, which is here. If you got drafts coming up this weekend, let me know. Any questions, hit us up. Follow me on Twitter at AFIFER24. Check out the Discord as well. We're here. Exciting times. We'll be back on Wednesday and on Friday this week here on For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name's Adam. Thanks for listening. Peace.